Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2012 investor conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thanks very much, Dave. Good morning and afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2012 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Friday, November 9th, 2012. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday morning and our other documents with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Finally, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to make just a few short statements and then I'd like to ask our COO, Rob Henderson, to make some statements about operations. And after that, Aurora Davidson, our Chief Financial Officer, to make some statements about our financial results. As you could see in our press release, we had a good operating quarter. And we had cash flow, which was not very high, but could have been a very good quarter. And this is what I'd like to explain, because this is something which a lot of people in North America do not understand. During the quarter, we were successful in negotiating a new labor agreement for 4 years. So for the next 4 years, we have a labor peace. And that was very important for us. And the way the labor agreements are negotiated in Chile is such that the wage increases are not as important as what they call the signing bonus. And signing bonuses, particularly in the mining industry, have been paid in recent years in significant amounts. Our signing bonus amounted to 10 million pesos, which translates to about $22,000. And this is less than other mining companies in recent time have negotiated. But you can imagine $22,000 for every worker is a significant amount, and you can see that was $4.6 million bonus payment, which reduced our cash flow to $2.7 million. Without that, which is a one-time payment for the next 4 years, we would have had over $7 million cash flow in the months. On the other hand, also through a one-time change in the accounting which we had to do, our profit was reduced due to the fact that the income tax the income taxes in Chile increased. This was a further 2.3 million expense in our profit and loss statement. So these two one-time events altered significantly our otherwise very good quarter financially and operationally. And with this, I'd like to give the word to Rob give you a few more details about the operations, and then Aurora about the financial situation of the company.
Thank you, Klaus. So copper production for Q3 2012 was 12.7 million pounds, and moly production was 322,000 pounds. Both copper and molybdenum production exceeded last quarter levels and exceeded the Q3 2011 levels. Increased plant tonnage is a major driver for the good copper production from both the fresh tailings and the old tailings in Caliwis. Continuous improvement initiatives in the molybdenum recovery circuit have resulted in record quarterly molybdenum production, and we believe this improvement is sustainable going forward. The company remains on course to meet or exceed our 2012 production guidance of 50 million pounds of copper and 1 million pounds of molybdenum. As Klaus said, the cash costs for Q3 were higher than expected and came in at $2.64 per pound of copper, which compares to the Q2 2012 cost of $2.37 per pound. And the reasons for this increase are primarily due to the one-time charges for the four-year union signing agreement bonus, which was equivalent to 36 cents per pound of copper. Power still remains our highest cost component at 90 cents per pound. Total operating cost for Q3 2012 was $3.76 per pound of copper produced. I'll now hand you over to Aurora, who will give you a bit more detail on the finances.
Thank you, Rob. I think we can start our discussion just with some highlights on the financial results per se, and then we can discuss our cash flow numbers for the quarter. In terms of financial results, as Klaus was mentioning, Q3 2012 was a strong quarter. Once we exclude the factors that have been discussed before, being the bonus to the workers and the expense that had to flow through the statement of earnings in respect of the Chilean tax increase from a long-term tax rate of 17 to 20%. And I would just like to clarify that the tax expense is a non-cash tax expense. It is an accounting adjustment for the future income tax liability of the company. Revenue in the quarter was strong. We had revenue of $44.2 million, and we had a cost of sales of $46.3 million. But I think that we have to look at that cost of sales on a normalized basis to exclude the impact of the working bonuses, the signing bonuses. And in that case, normalized cost of sales was $41.7 million. I would just like to take a minute here to explain that under accounting requirements, the signing bonuses have to be expensed as incurred, even if the benefit to the company from these bonuses is really a four-year benefit. As Klaus was saying, with the signing of the contract agreements in MVC, the company is enjoying a period of 4 years labor stability at MDC. So the argument in absence of strict accounting regulations would be this is a cost that normally one would expect to see deferred over 4 years and not taken to earnings in one single go, as is the requirement under financial standards. We also had the impact of the tax increase in Chile, and those two factors combined resulted in the company posting a net loss of $4.2 million in the quarter. However, on a normalized basis, the profit that the company realized in Q3 2012 would have been $3 million after we adjust for the signing bonuses and the effect of the non-cash adjustments on the tax rate in Chile. If we look at the company's cash flows for Q3 2012, you can see that even after the payment of the bonuses, cash generated from operating activities was $2.7 million, and this is not a bad number. If we normalize that cash flow generated from operations to exclude the tax, the signing bonuses, we would have had normalized cash generated from operations of $7.3 million in Q3 2012, which is a very strong number. Our cash flow allocated to investing activities has decreased substantially, as we had expected it to be. We had cash payments of $4.7 million going towards CapEx in Q3 2012. And on a year-to-date basis, CapEx expenditures have been $21 million. So all of these factors obviously have an impact on the company's ending cash position at the end of the quarter, although specifically in Q3 2012 or as of September 30th, our cash was very strong due to the timing of when the month, the quarter ended in respect of when payments are usually made in MDC. So we had some of the payments that would normally flow at the end of the month actually flowed in the first days of October, and that's why you're seeing a stronger than normal cash balance reported as of the end of September. In respect of the company's declaration of a dividend, which was made subsequent to the review of the financial results of Q3 2012, the factors that were considered in continuing our dividend of 2 cents per share was basically our strong belief that the underlying business of MDC, from which dividends have been financed since this year, is strong and will be stronger in 2013 once we have the benefits of the substantially reduced power costs under the new power contract that the company will enjoy from 2013 and for a period of 5 years. So I think that would be my presentation of the financial results of the company, and I think that we're now ready for any questions, Klaus.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Questions will now be taken from the telephone lines. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any questions. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Brian Post from Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, everyone. Congratulations on a pretty good quarter. You know, when you look at this quarter's operations with the copper production and the moly production, would you say that it's reflective of the true capacity of the plant, or can you take it even higher given its current configuration?
Rob, you want to answer that?
Sure. Yep. Brian, what we're seeing is a gradual increase in recovery from Kiliwis, that the historical tails. So, you know, whilst the fresh tailings, we can't increase much tonnage there and recovery is slightly capped, we can continue to grow Kiliwis. And, you know, through a series of continuous improvement techniques and climbing up the learning curve, we are seeing continued increases in tonnage from Kaliwis. But again, this is somewhat capped, and you know, ultimately we would be looking towards the Carcanus or other tailings areas to meet our full capacity.
Okay, and a quick follow-up question, if I may. You mentioned in the releases that power costs are back up. Are they running, close to the highest levels, or kind of in between? You know, what can you give us any guidance on the relative costs there versus past periods?
The power cost for last quarter was slightly lower than that from Q2, but it's still running at very high levels, in the order of 19 to 20 cents per kilowatt hour. And next year, with our new power contract, we're hoping to get half of that. So we're looking to cut our power costs to half for next year. So yes, the power costs are currently still at very high levels. Maybe not record high; they are coming down slightly, but they're still very high.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. You talked about the bonus for these workers, and presumably they do not get an annual increase over the 4 years, or is there a percentage?
There is also an increase of the wages, but they are limited, so the emphasis in the negotiations is more on the signing bonus.
Yeah, but I mean, is it 1% or is it?
It's about over the 4 years. It's about 2% per year.
That's okay. All right. And now the second setting, Carcanus. How are your negotiations going on with Codelco? When can we expect that to be completed?
Well, as you say, it's negotiations with Codelco, so there are two parties involved. I think they are going quite well, but I cannot answer, of course, for Codelco. I think right now we have more frequent negotiations than ever before. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Anything particularly stopping them from signing the deal?
Bureaucracy, probably.
Okay.
But other than that, no. It's quite clear that Codelco is interested in doing a deal with us. That is quite clear.
Okay. Now, as regards to the capacity increase, I heard Rob say that if you got more tailings from Carcanus, you've got capacity to handle some of it right now. So are you running at about 80% or so of the possible right now, just out of Kaliwis and the new tailings?
Well, I'll have Rob make some statements on that, but just in general terms, I think what we have right now is we are pretty close to the presently installed capacity. However, having said that, there are possibilities which are not very expensive of changing that capacity so that I think we could get another 20% or so increase if we have enough material. But I'll ask Rob whether he thinks that's a correct assessment.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Klaus. I mean, we do have opportunity to spend incremental amounts of capital to get incremental increases in tonnage. And, I think your target of 20% is about bang on before you have to start spending, bigger quantums of capital to get the bigger quantums of production throughput. So, obviously, to get 20%, I think is quite achievable with minimal capex. If we were looking at, you know, going up to 50% more production, we would have to spend a fair bit more capex, and you know, we're not there yet.
Okay. Yeah. One final question from me is: what amount of income tax are you expecting to pay to Chile for this year?
This year, we are going to be paying 20% a tax rate. With depending on how the Q4 goes, the actual dollar amount may not be substantially substantial. You have to take into account that there are several factors that come into play when calculating Chilean income tax, and one of them are differences in timing of depreciation. We have enjoyed accelerated depreciation of our substantial capex investments in prior years, so we are not on the same basis as what you see in the financial statements in respect of the calculation of Chilean income tax.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Let somebody else ask a question.
Thank you. As a reminder, you may press star 1 at any time if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from John Polcari from New York. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Question is, if you could give us any color on your negotiations with Codelco. I know you answered the question just recently in this call, but would the negotiations include a discussion of the existing royalty structure?
Yes, it does. The discussions are quite broad. They include that. They include the fresh tailings, and they include, of course, Cauquenes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Brian Post from Newport Beach. Please go ahead.
Yeah, a little bit more about Codelco. You know, last year, or I guess in 2012, the planned maintenance and downtime was spread over Q1 and Q2. Do you have any idea as far as the maintenance schedule for next year? And will you see the same, or is it going to be all concentrated in Q1 again?
We have some preliminary information on that. I think they want to spread it again. Or have you heard in the meantime more?
We're in the process of defining our budget for next year, so we're still getting the information from Codelco. But Klaus, you're right. There's no major stoppage plan. There's going to be incremental stoppages throughout the year. We don't see anything unusual coming up.
Okay, and I guess another quick follow-up here. With the power costs looking to reset next year and assuming that the plant retains its current capacity through 2013, the incremental cash flow and capital you guys make, do you plan on possibly looking at a dividend increase, or do you think that you may be better served putting back into the war chest for a possible large-scale expansion?
Well, that will have to be, I guess, discussed once we come to an arrangement with Codelco. I think the feeling at the board is that we should certainly retain the dividend, and despite the fact that we will have to invest a significant amount of money. So the question is, you know, how much can we finance from bank loans? How much will the bank loans then allow us to keep before repayment of loans? So these are things which will have to be discussed once we are there with our discussions with Codelco.
Great. Thanks for the extra detail.
Thank you. The next question is from Ken Hefner from Lakeland. Please go ahead.
For the first part of the expansion, if it occurs, has there been any estimate on the cost of the capex and how long of a period of time it would require?
We are working on the feasibility study of that right now, and at the same time, we are working on the permitting process. It looks as if we will probably not have a permit for this expansion before the middle of next year. We are planning to have a final feasibility study once we get a better feel for the requirements from the environmental side. Hopefully, you know, we'll have a good feel for that in the toward the end of the first quarter.
Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from John Polcari from New York. Please go ahead.
Plus, is the target for the Stage 1 expansion still approximately 70 million pounds of copper?
It may change. As we were saying earlier in the discussion, we think we can expand the production, by probably 20% without horrendous capital outlays. So, you know, if you add 20% to 50 million,
right, you get 60 million.
You know, we would get to about 60 million. That would be a stage which is different than what we were thinking some time ago, and it could be reached much faster. And then I think the next stage would be the full expansion to our full capacity.
Which was, did you mean going into stage two, your original stage two projections or estimates?
Yeah.
Closer to what, 90 million?
Yeah, we are thinking right now about 85.
Mm-hmm. Would it be realistic then to think that in the second half of 2013 that the running rate would move up to 60 million?
By the end of 2013, yeah, that could happen, but not as an average of 2013.
No, I understand. I'm talking about
exiting
at a running rate.
Yeah,
at that level.
Yeah, that could be. Rob, what are you saying?
It's possible. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, we'd have to, again, we're still in the process of defining the budget for next year, and we have to be, you know, cognizant of the grades that are available to us in Kiliwis. So, you know, it's possible, but we're, you know, I don't think we're ready to forecast that yet.
And the energy requirements, which currently encompass your existing production level, would they also increase? Obviously, your requirements would increase, but would the new energy contract cover that 20% increase?
The 20% increase, yes.
Okay. And the larger expansion, should it come to pass, would be maybe perhaps what, maybe a two-year project?
After we get the permitting, yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is another follow-up question from Stephen Autridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there, Aurora, perhaps. I'm looking at the consolidated statements of cash flows on the statement, and it you've got net cash provided by operations, you've got cash used investing and in financing, and it says net cash outflow during the period. Should that not read net cash inflow during the period?
Yes, that is correct. There should be cash inflow in the period. We had positive cash generated in Q3.
Yeah, exactly. But it says, but in the statements it says outflow, so you might want to change it. I looked at it both online and the printed thing. It says outflow, so you might want to change it to inflow. That's my comment.
Good suggestion.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any questions. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'd like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Kuda.
Thank you very much, Dave. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We look forward to talking to you again at the end of our next quarter, which, of course, will be December 31st. And in the meantime, all the best, everyone, and have a happy holiday season. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.